I'm joined by Lawrence Asadurian, who is the agent in the Middle East for Strad Europe. We've just been talking to him about the Stradivarius violins, which are really quite incredible. You said there's only, what, between 400 to 600?
400 to 600.
Left in the world.
200 mint condition.
Yeah, and I mean, commanding the most incredible prices. 15 million, you said one just went for a while ago.
Yeah, absolutely. The 15 million was gone at auction, but the average price for the mint condition ones, you're looking at $8 to $10 million on average.
And how does that, you know, is it sort of about like modern art is valued? Is it just sort of, how do you put a price on it?
That's very difficult to say. I mean, for one, it's the availability of the violins.
Yeah.
I mentioned that in the crisis, there's more availability because people who've made bad investments in other financial products are looking to raise capital, so they sell their instruments, and people who've made money or still have money quickly go and buy some. In Europe, in the States, and in Japan and South Korea, people actually wait in line to buy these instruments.
Really?
We have a huge waiting list. When everything is good economically, people hold on to them. They don't want to sell them because they're very emotionally, most buyers are extremely emotionally attached, not only to the instrument, but most buyers are attached to the relationship they have with the musicians, because we try to only do business with people who will buy the instrument but will lend the instrument out to a musician or an institution that can't afford it, because most musicians just can't afford these prices. So the person who buys is very emotionally attached to the musician that he tries to support, or the institution he tries to support, as well as the violin.
I'm sure it would raise the profile. For example, if the Philharmonic here had someone who was playing the Stradivarius, it immediately sort of elevates it into a whole.
Absolutely! I mean, all again, you know, a lot of skeptics can say it's a psychological attachment, but still, the greatest musicians of today always try to get their hands on either a Stradivari or Guarneri del Gesso in order to further their careers. And they have a very strong relationship with those instruments. Bringing in these instruments to the Middle East is something that we've been doing now since 2008. And our biggest pitch to potential clientele is that we would like to work very closely with local organizations such as the Center for Musical Arts, as an example, to try to put these instruments in the hands of talented Emiratis. There's been a huge increase in, especially in Emirati girls, in taking up musical education. And we're seeing that there's a huge initiative to include music as part of the school curriculum. The Abu Dhabi Educational Council is doing that. The other Emirates are slowly going to follow. But yeah, definitely it raises not only the profile of the country in investing in world heritage, but it also an amazing way for very talented musicians here to grow in their musical education and then eventually become brand ambassadors. We work very closely not only with leading maestros and musical educators for Western classical music, but we would also like to work very closely with Eastern classical music in the maqams. So these students not only represent and play Western classical music, but also the Eastern classical music of the region, and become real brand ambassadors for the country.
Right. Can you tell me, I don't know if you can, but are there any in the region?
As far as we know, there are none in the region, and there are no owners in the region. I'm not at liberty to say one of our partnerships, but we have signed an agreement with one of the leading banks in the region, and we hope that because the difficulty here is that it's a very 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 new endeavor for the region. The visual arts have had a very strong presence here for over 30 years, whereas the performing arts is something very new. And even in the most developed markets, it takes a very culturally, you know, cultivated and sophisticated character to really appreciate the performing arts. Even in the more developed markets, it's still niche compared to the visual.
Yeah. But two interesting questions come through from our listeners, if I may. Kevin asks, is it possible to buy a Strad as a syndicate? It's like a thoroughbred racehorse as an investment.
Well, I think I think if Kevin brings a few friends together and says we will create a foundation, there are many foundations that have been created around the world, and to try to select an artist or give the instrument on loan to the London Symphony Orchestra or possibly to the upcoming Dubai Opera House, this is entirely possible, yes.
But as you said, I mean, are you waiting? Is it a bit of a waiting game to try
wait for people to want
to sell?
Our approach here has been one of cautious optimism. Our initial approach here, because of the boom, was to approach government. And unfortunately, due to the crisis, the performing arts kind of took a back burner, and the governments felt here that the visual arts, because it's already well established and already well recognized, it's easier to kind of move forward with. You know, there was the announcement of the Zaha Hadid Opera House in the Lagoons, which unfortunately got cancelled. The performing arts in Abu Dhabi got on the back burner, although the Huda Kanu is doing amazing work in the musical field, not only with Abu Dhabi Festival but with all the programs that Her Excellency does throughout the year. But since the success of the Royal Oman Opera House, which was established by Iman al-Hindawi, another, it's amazing that a lot of the cultural drivers in the region are Arab women, and a lot of them have played an inspiration. So Iman al-Hindawi established the Opera House, and it's gotten huge success. And I think there's a little bit now more incentive for the regional neighbors of Oman to really invest in the performing arts. You see the recent announcement by His Highness Sheikh Mohammed, as well as with Mohammed Al-Abar, to open the Opera House and the Museum of Modern Art in downtown, which is the perfect place to build it. And I think maybe the tourism board of the UAE understands that in order to pull in some of the really high net worth individuals into the city, you need, you know, to further enhance the already strong position as Dubai and the larger UAE as a regional hub for culture.
So as I said, so really it's kind of, if it merits it, so you're thinking that you know, there are potential sellers out there, and if there is a place and people who are interested to buy, then you know that there's a possible deal to be done.
Well, that's the dilemma we were faced with in the mid 2009, where initially we were approaching governments, and governments understood the benefits of such investments. Now, we had to turn our focus to kind of the more private sector, and in order to do that, you know, high net worth individuals are very hard to come by, and that's why we've gone into this partnership with this bank to help us access. And the credibility of the bank also brings us, you know, added value because of an unknown investment. So since the last 4 months, there's definitely been huge growing interest, not only in the UAE but in Qatar as well. Not only from government and private individuals, but also from companies, because you have IBM, who've invested in these instruments. Samsung have a very large collection. Nippon have a very large collection. And what these companies understand is that whether it's they acquire one instrument or several instruments, it's they can use this asset for sponsorship. We all know that cultural sponsorship can often be a black hole, and the return on investments is more of a philanthropic or, you know, CSR one, and you can't really attach a financial return on investment. But these companies around the world, they purchase the instruments, it increases their public image, and they loan it out to different musical organizations and musicians around the world as an asset. And if they wish to terminate that relationship, they take the asset back and potentially sell it and make quite a bit of profit as well. So there's different advantages to acquiring them, whether you're an individual or whether you're a corporate or whether you're a government. But I think what we do, beyond the actual purchase of the instruments, what we're very good at is building cultural political relationships. So whether it be you know, a buyer in Australia wishing to help the government in Thailand in establishing a symphony orchestra, we put all those stakeholders together to try to enhance the cultural scenes in the respective countries.
It's incredible, isn't it? This tiny little instrument can have such a major impact on countries, on culture, society, politics, even, and economics.
Oh, absolutely! I mean, we have we have one example where there was one buyer from a specific country that was having a difficult time entering into a specific industry into another country. And he was a large violin collector, and there was a very big cultural scene in the other country. And we told him, if you learn the instruments out to that specific country, it's, of course, it's not a bribe in any shape or form, but it'll definitely enhance your credibility and your image. And over a period of over 2 years, business was facilitated.
Mm.
So the even though you from a small wooden instrument, you have so many possibilities of how to build cultural ties between governments to governments, between institutions and governments, and individuals with governments.
Mm. Amazing. It's an amazing story. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you this afternoon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for sort of opening another world to us today. Lawrence Asadurian, who's the agent for Middle East for Strad Europe. I don't know, do you have a website, or perhaps you could give out, if our listeners would like to find out more about your work and what you do, or a way to contact you?
I think if people are interested, we definitely, Professor Walton is a director for an institution called the Stradivarius Society. So you can go to stradivariussociety.com.
Okay.
And it talks about all our philanthropic work, how we connect the instruments to musicians.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, people can find my profile on LinkedIn and get in touch with me.
Lovely. Thank you very much, Lawrence.
Thank you.
All the best to you.